It's the feast of Saints Peter and Paul. The epistle for this Mass is taken from the Acts of the Apostles. In those days, Herod the king set hands on certain members of the church to persecute them. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And seeing that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also during the days of the unleavened bread. After arresting him, he cast him into prison, committing the custody of him to four guards of soldiers, four in each guard, intending to bring him forth to the people after the Passover. So Peter was being kept in prison, but the prayer of the church being made to God for him by the church without ceasing. Now when Herod was about to bring him forth, that same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and outside the door, sentries guarded the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood beside him, and a light shone in the room. And he struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." The chains dropped from his hands, and the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so, and he said to him, "Wrap your cloak about you and follow me." And he followed him out without knowing that what was being done by the angel was real, for he thought he was having a vision. They passed through the first and second guard and came to the iron gate that leads into the city, and this opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and straightway the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself, and he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the power of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account, according to St. Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 to 19. At that time, Jesus, having come into the district of Caesarea Philippi, began to ask his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that the Son of Man is?" But they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Then Jesus answered and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. As most of you know, it is approximately every 3 years that each of the priests here, apart from our Father Superior, offer this Mass, because we just rotate it. And so it's been 3 years since we had the privilege of offering this beautiful Mass, honoring these two among the greatest of all saints. What makes a saint, just briefly? The very brief definition is that they have, the man or woman or boy or girl, have at least one virtue that is to a heroic degree. They have heroic virtue that is clearly beyond their own ability. And this is apart from any miracles or works, wondrous works that they may be able to perform. So St. Teresa of the Child Jesus was never known to, except for one when she was a child, but when she was a saint, never known on earth to perform or any miracles surrounding her. Yet she was a very great saint, the greatest saint of modern times. And here we have these two men, one who was gregarious, an ordinary man, a fisherman, but had a great heart, big heart, was ready to love to an heroic degree. And we have St. Paul, who was trained in the Mosaic Law and grew up as a vigorous and even a rabid follower of the old law, to the point that he was commissioned to persecute and to round up and to kill the Christians. St. Peter, when he was chosen by God, if you remember many of the stories in the four Gospels, his brother Andrew brought Simon, as his name was, to our Lord. And if you remember that famous quote, because St. Peter felt unworthy to be in our Lord's presence, so he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Now we may think, how unusual, because our Lord had the reputation of being the Savior, or possibly that's what was were the rumors. And here this man says that, you would think he would ask for favors or make acts of worship to our Lord. But what does he say? He wants our Lord to leave him. In other words, he's not worthy to be in his presence. Now, 2,000 years later, we have an example for us in that event. Because how often does every person who has ever lived feel unworthy to be in the presence of God, to be in the chapel before the Blessed Sacrament, to even pray because of the shame of their sins? But our Lord, our Savior, who has a great desire to save all of us, gives us the grace, and he gave it to St. Peter, to convert, to change our hearts, to put away the old man, to renounce evil and sin and fault. Because the weeks after that first calling of our Lord to St. Peter and the other apostles, they didn't immediately just follow him, because they sometimes would go back to their work. They didn't definitively leave everything and follow him until some time after. But they made that choice. But even with all of that, 3 years with St. Peter of hearing the Son of God preach, perform miracles that would confirm what he said, countless moments being with the Son of God, and at the key moment when our Lord was arrested, St. Peter denied him 3 times. It's like everything, all that preparation was lost. How ashamed our Lord was of him. How ashamed St. Peter must have been at that moment. I don't know him. And he was looking at him, and our Lord was looking at St. Peter. 3 times in front of everyone. And St. John was there too, saw that happen. And he ran away and wept bitterly. And how often does that happen to souls from that moment? The millions of souls who think they've committed themselves to Christ and then they fall again. Sometimes seriously. And yet, as there are so many stories, we can't recount them, but that beautiful miracle of our Lord when they're on the boat, the apostles, and the storm comes and the waves are overcoming them, and they see our Lord walking on the water and they say, Lord, save us. And our Lord asks St. Peter to walk on the water to meet him. So he does that and he jumps out and is walking on the water, but he starts failing. And I love the beautiful artwork on that because it shows our Lord with his hand extended, saving St. Peter from the enveloping waves that would draw him to his death. And that is exactly what our Lord does for all of us, especially in those key moments when we feel like everything is lost. And with St. Paul, if you know the story, which I think everyone here does, the beautiful conversion of him. Because here he's going all over Palestine, persecuting and arresting and imprisoning and killing the Christians. And this is from the Acts of the Apostles. In those days, Saul, as yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any men or women of this way, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Meaning tied up, drag them to Jerusalem. And as he went on his journey, it came to pass that he drew near to Damascus. And suddenly a light from heaven shined round about him. And falling on the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the goad. And he trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? That should be a question we should ask God frequently. Tell me what to do. Because this man, who was so evil, was converted to God in 1 second, in 1 moment. Because God can do all things, and he can choose to give the full grace of conversion in a moment. And he's saying, tell me what is your desire. And we should do that frequently. So the two paths of these men, they did not know each other till much later, but they are concurrent in their preaching, teaching, performing miracles, not for their own glory, but in the name of Jesus Christ. Because as after our Lord ascended into heaven, the church, as our Lord prophesied, would spread in a remarkable way, despite the persecutions and hatred of the Jews and the Romans. I have a special devotion to St. Peter because when I was in fifth grade, I chose Peter as my confirmation name. And I think I've mentioned this before, that I remember, because it's frankly kind of exciting for a young boy or girl to be able to choose a name. And so I chose Peter, and I remember telling my mother that. She says, "Why did you choose Peter?" And I said, "That's what I want. I want to choose St. Peter as my patron." Because she figured I would choose a name that was one of the relatives' names, or uncles or grandparents. No. And I've always loved St. Peter, devoted to him, invoke him. And some years ago, our Father Superior and Father Simons found at a store an exquisite image this big of St. Peter having his feet washed by our Lord and trying to stop our Lord from doing that because he felt he was unworthy, that the Son of God is kneeling down and washing my feet. And frankly, that would be any of us when we would react the same way. But our Lord had a purpose in doing that as an example of showing his humility and also an example for them how all popes, bishops, and priests should be protectors of the sheep and to do it with humility, not with arrogance and being high-minded, as we see so often in the traditional world of priests who think they're so great. If you notice, and we've mentioned these points before, but with a different few other points added, is that these two men, converted from their secular, sinful lives, were given new names by our Lord. Now, the other apostles, they had their names and they kept those names, but Simon was given a name, Peter, Petrus, because that means rock, and our Lord says, "Upon this rock, Peter, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That means what we are going through in these days with the disaster and cataclysm in the world, and especially in the church, with the evil and corrupt leaders, they are really doomed to failure. They're spinning their wheels because our Lord will win in the end. I pray for their conversion and their salvation because that is all that can be done for them at this point. But we will win. Our faith, the faith of St. Peter, the faith of St. Paul, will triumph. Whether it's next year or 100 years from now or 1,000 years from now, the church will be restored before the end of time. All coming from these men. So St. Peter was given this name sort of like a baptism or confirmation. He's given a new name. And Saul was changed to Paul. Paulus means a small man. That's literally what it means. And he was small. And he actually was not very attractive to look at, especially after he was blinded by our Lord. He always had eye troubles. But when God chooses a soul to convert others, especially these men, he's not concerned with the appearance or the externals. They had huge hearts filled with love of God and love of their neighbors. They did unbelievable things, especially St. Paul, to bring the faith to spread it throughout the whole region of the Middle East, and St. Paul went all over the lands around the Mediterranean Sea. Now, our Father Superior mentioned a week or two ago about that there was so little of the practice of having feast days celebrated in the city when I was younger, but especially in the mid-1970s. We're talking about, forget the Novus Ordo and that, they're long gone. We're talking about the traditional Catholics. But in the old days, before the Novus Ordo, I didn't even know this feast existed. I mean, I may have served the Mass, a daily Mass, but there was absolutely no announcement or high Mass or anything. So the first time when the community came here, there was a high Mass on this day. And I was just overwhelmed, because I didn't realize how important Saints Peter and Paul are. And the chapel that it was, that high Mass was offered in security, was, even though this is a small and humble chapel, this is like a little basilica compared to where that was and what it, the appearance of it. But that was the best we had. But I realized then, and I think all the people did, what we owe to these saints, because in his sermon, Father said that these two men are the pillars, the two pillars, major ones, that our whole faith is established on. We owe everything to them. Yes, the other apostles and other saints throughout the ages, but our Lord chose them, St. Peter, to be the first pope, his first vicar, the vicar of Christ, meaning representative of Jesus Christ on earth, to be succeeded by others elected by the church to guide and protect the faith, to teach the true faith, and to be a real shepherd. And to take the faith seriously and to condemn those who are erroneous and attacking the church. If you remember some months ago, that epistle of St. Paul, when he describes in great detail, it's the longest epistle of the year, of any Mass, all the sufferings, how he was in the sea for a day and a night and being scourged and abandoned and starving, all these different sufferings, no doubt to make up for his great sins. But he was not trying to brag. He was showing to us, telling people for all times, how much it means to suffer for Christ, and that he is a true apostle. And actually, he is called the apostle because he's called the greatest apostle. He preached and taught more than any of the other apostles of the 12. So I remember that. I remember that sermon almost 40 years ago that our Father Superior preached to us. And it was one of the steps, frankly, to convince me and to further my desire to be a priest, to give our lives for Christ, no matter what the cost. So we learn, we see that St. Peter, through all these centuries, he still speaks to us through all his successors when they teach according to the sacred tradition. St. Paul continues to teach us through his epistles, which are heard every day of the year at Mass. Now, I'm going to read, just take a moment, and it's an English translation of the hymn for Vespers, which I don't know if anyone has ever heard in English, this translation, but it's for Second Vespers for this feast. Bathed in eternity's all beauteous beam and opening into heaven a path sublime, welcome the golden day which heralds the apostolic chiefs whose glory fills all time. Peter and Paul, the fathers of great Rome, now sitting in the senate of the skies, one by the cross, the other by the sword, sent to their throne on high and life's eternal prize. O happy Rome, whom that most glorious blood forever consecrates while ages flow, thou thus empurpled art thou more beautiful than all that does appear most beautiful now. Praise, blessing, majesty, through endless days given, be to the Trinity immortal, who in pure unity profoundly sways eternally all things alike in earth and in heaven. Amen. Why does the Church write such beautiful words? Because poetry, as you know, expresses what prose cannot, the depths of our souls. The secrets of the souls, the hearts of the saints, and especially the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Because there is no doubt the Blessed Virgin Mary was praying for the Church, conversions, and it is through her intercession that these two men became saints. So, it is our duty, it is our privilege to assist at this Mass. But especially to pray for Holy Mother the Church in these dire times. We in the community often say and remark that we didn't think it could get worse than it was 5 or 10 years ago, and it actually is. But we all remember God is in charge. He is not abandoning us. He's permitting this in his infinite wisdom and power for a greater glory to come, because there will be great saints that will come from this persecution. And it is said at the end of time, they'll be the greatest of all saints, especially Jewish converts who will be, they said, the greatest saints ever. What a beautiful thought. That's why I would encourage you to devoutly pray the acts of faith, hope, and charity sometime during this Mass. Because when we all pray this, that our faith, individual faith, and our faith together will be preserved and increased in strength. Our hope and trust in God will not waver. And especially our love of God will be more intense. Heroic, like the saints. We can love. All of us here can love just like the saints. All we have to do is ask. That's what Saints Peter and Paul did for us, who were martyred in the year 67 on this very day, at the same moment. If we do that, we can change our lives and we can change the world. It is such a great feast, at least it used to be in Rome. It is said there were times it was celebrated with greater festivity than even Easter Sunday. June 29th. It became such a huge feast, festival, that they had to separate the processions to St. Paul to tomorrow because there's just too much to celebrate in one day. And that's why we have the commemoration of St. Paul, that feast, tomorrow. Our closing words will be the beautiful collect of this Mass. O God, who has made holy this day with the martyrdom of thy apostles Peter and Paul, grant that thy church may in all things follow the precepts of those from whom it first received the faith. Amen. May God bless you.